What, I Walk Alone?
Batista's, yeah.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na. All right.
In his prime, he was so fucking good.
We are recording.
All right.
We are getting on the butt.
Get on that butt.
And we are streaming live. And,
pushy.
Give us an intro.
Pushy for the tushy.
Yes. Give us an intro.
What?
Give us an intro.
Today on the Shining. Oh, radio corny voice. Tonight on the Shining Wizards podcast, we cover Money in the Bank. We talk to the one and only most famous enhancement talent in the history of professional wrestling, Barry Horowitz, plus a whole lot of wrestling news, some sad, some fun.
And picks!
And picks! We got it all! Because we are all elite! We are the all elite wizards! Ugh.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rantium Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at shiningwizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
This is Darby Allin, and you're listening to Shining Wizards.
Blah. I have a small dick.
God damn! Ladies and gentlemen, you are joining us live on RantDMRadio.com.
You killed my drum solo.
Well, your drum solo's over, dude. We gotta get the show rolling.
Oh, all right.
What do you think? It's all about Kevin Joseph Garifo.
It's all about my drumming, man.
Come on, man.
I'm all about Mr. Drummond, man.
Oh, good God. What an awful reference that was.
That's incredible.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are live along with us here tonight. It's the two-man group representing the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Of course, it's Wrestling Talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Kevin!
And tonight on the hotline in about 15, we are going to be joined by the one and only legendary, and it's fair to call him a legend because that's what he is.
Dude, if you put him in the Hall of Fame today, I would not even bat an eyebrow.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Is that the expression? That's not the expression.
Bat an eye?
Bat an eyebrow?
No. Eyelash? Bat an eye?
Bat an eye.
That's it.
Yeah.
Unless you're Sammy Callahan, you won't be batting any eyes tonight because we are talking to the one and only Mr. Barry Horowitz.
Woo! A Sammy Callahan, Barry Horowitz reference.
You like that? And I found out.
I do.
I also found out Sammy Callahan's going to be returning to
WrestlePro. That's right.
That's pretty big. It's been, what, like 6-7 years since he's
God. I don't think it has been WrestlePro since he's been
no,
there.
No, definitely not.
It's PWS.
And that was some good stuff, him and Kevin Matthews. That was a killer match.
Dude,
I remember that.
Sammy Callahan's one of my favorite performers on the planet.
Yeah, he's kind of gross, though.
He's incredible.
He's drooling and spitting all over everybody.
He's a psycho.
Yeah,
he's nuts. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing better than the finish of that Money in the Bank pay-per-view, I'll tell you that much.
I tell you, I didn't know if I was going to get to watch MLW this week, and I actually did today, and I'm so glad I did, because I know, like, lately I've been like, this wasn't so good, whatnot. Great show. Absolutely great show. I'm glad I tuned in.
We're like the MLW, like, aficionado podcast now.
Pretty much.
Because we watch it every week. That's, like, the one show you can guarantee that we'll watch.
Well, Kevin, you got to understand.
What's that?
I am an expert when it comes to MLW.
That's true.
I am an expert in a lot of professional wrestling.
I bow to your expertise.
And I was pretty expertitious. Is that
what?
A word?
No.
This past
That's
Sunday.
That's like bat an eyebrow.
Hey, I can make things up.
That's true.
I'm creative.
You're good. You're the best in the world at what you do.
Well, Shane McMahon's the best in the world, as we learned.
Fuck Shane McMahon.
Oh, easy.
Whoa, what? He's not here?
Do you think Barry Horowitz will like that potty mouth of yours?
That's
when he
a good point.
Us?
That's a very good point.
Be respectful. Damn it.
I love Barry Horowitz.
We all love Barry Horowitz.
7:15. Pat yourself on the back because he will call in. Oh, no, we're calling Barry.
That's how important Barry Horowitz is to the world of wrestling.
I believe that. Yeah, we have to call him. There's no other way around it.
No, definitely not.
So,
definitely not.
I'm excited. I'm more excited to talk about his is Global Wrestling Federation days than his,
I know you are,
than his WWE days.
When I told you that I spoke to him and we had him booked for Tuesday, you were like, yes, another global guy. I love it.
Dude, global was such a fun time for me.
It was such a short period in the history of wrestling, right, too. That's the strange thing about it.
And the older you get, the more distant it becomes. But there are certain things that you just remember about global.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the Dark Patriot. I remember the Patriot. I remember Bad News Brown teaming with Big Bully Busick. I remember Chaz. I remember the bungee cord match. I remember The Handsome Stranger. Marcus Alexander Bagwell, if you will. I remember Barry Horowitz's time in Global. I remember him. We'll save it for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
you're excited.
I am, because 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, whenever it was on ESPN, you go, you turn it on, you got wrestling in the middle of the week.
Wrestling on a wrestling show. Who would have thought?
Wrestling on a wrestling show, that fucking pink ring, whatever the fuck it was.
Are you sure you're not confusing Glow with Global?
No, it was Global. I'm telling you, it was Global. They had a red ring. Red rum.
I was actually reaching out to some of the former Glow girls, now that we mentioned Glow, to try to find out whatever happened to their ring, because I think that would be an awesome collector's item.
What, do you want to be like Kramer reviving the Merv Griffin show in his apartment?
You know,
would you put a glow ring in your basement?
It's funny you mention that, because not so much Merv Griffin, but I did do a little research.
Oh boy.
To try to buy the floor from the Odyssey 2001. Do you know what that is?
Is that the movie with the periscope and the...
No, no. Odyssey 2001 was the dance club from Saturday Night Fever. You know the floor that used to light up with all the patterns and shit?
I figured somebody had
to have that somewhere. And it was actually up for auction probably about 9 or 10 years
Jesus
ago.
Jesus Christ, it's got to be through the roof expensive.
Well, here's the funny thing. Somebody actually went out of their way to go to the auction to try to buy it. And the opening bid was really low. And before he even put a bid in, it went up. And then he's like, something smells funny. And then they completely removed it from the auction. So well, there were some chicanery and shenanigans.
With that floor, I'm sure a lot of stuff smelled funny.
Oh, it was probably disgusting.
Yeah.
But as something cool, it would have been like, you know what? If it was worth it. Like, look, if I had the money to pull together, I would have purchased the Silver Dome years ago when it went up for sale. $300,000. Could you imagine?
Tony.
What?
You would have bought the Silver Dome.
Yes.
Where would you put it?
Such an ass.
Where in the world would you put the Silver Dome?
I would have invited all my boys to go to Pontiac, Michigan.
All your boys wouldn't be able to fill the first row of that.
I would go to Pontiac. I would bring the glow ring, and we would reenact WrestleMania 3.
With a glow ring? None of what you're saying makes any sense, but I love it and I support it. We could get some Glow people probably now. Maybe we could get Chavito or former guest John Morrison.
Oh, you're talking like
the series, obviously.
You're not talking old
school.
No,
we'd go. We can get Ivory. We can get Lisa.
I'm not even worried about Lisa. I'm more interested in like some of the other girls. Maybe the girls that didn't, you know, have the Afterglow success. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
In wrestling.
Well, Tommy Fierro's back in the business, so he's doing a lot of stuff with the original Glows, with these 80s
really?
Wrestling cons.
Because I know the three that have been going around are Lightning, Hollywood, who's a smoke show still, and Royal Hawaiian, who was one of
Royal
my favorites
Hawaiian.
When I was a kid.
That's what I say. Hula, the Jeff Cobb, the hula hula dancer.
Jeff Cobb, hula hula, the pineapple guy.
Yeah, that's what
it is. My absolute favorite wrestler ever in Ring of Honor.
Oh boy, hot take.
Hey, only here at the Shining Wizards.
Hey, Baza, my man, Pots and Pans.
Baza's online.
Oh, he's there. He's watching through Mevo.
Oh, and I already told Baza that I will be getting together with him for the 5th annual Tony and Baza show.
You've done that 5 times?
I think this is going to be number 5. It might be number 6. It's definitely at least 4 times we've done it.
Five times. Can you dig that, sucker?
So how many people got tuned in? I see two.
Three of us. We're blowing up, people.
You know what it is? We haven't been putting out that we've been using the Mevo because we've just gotten back into using it.
Right. I put it on the old Instagram today, but on my personal one.
Ooh.
Well, not only because I'm trying, and then I also told them to follow us on our page on Instagram because I'm trying to get better at posting on Instagram.
But I have. It makes sense for me to post at least something on my personal one because I have more followers than our podcast one.
Wow.
So if I can get
On Instagram.
On Instagram.
Do we even do anything on Instagram with the show?
Yeah.
We do?
Oh, yeah. I post at least one thing a day on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
But I'm so far out of Instagram.
I unfollowed you.
Really?
Of course.
You Why?
Because you're not active.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
I had followed you from both because I wanted to hit the numbers better between our followers and who we're following. So I unfollowed you.
Wow. You're a dirtbag.
I'm not a dirtbag. If you don't post anything within like the last month, I'm unfollowing you.
Wow. So we should have like zero people following us now, right?
No, because I post every day. I post every day.
My feelings are hurt. I don't know if I can get through this Barry Horowitz interview.
Stop
now.
It. You're a ghost on Instagram. I tag you on stuff.
You know what? To be honest with you, I didn't even know I was on Instagram.
How do you not know that you have a social media profile?
Because I think it just attaches to your Facebook profile, doesn't it?
No, you have to choose the picture that you use.
Do I have a picture on?
Yeah, it's the Shining Wizards Gold logo.
Oh, you see, that's my Twitter logo. That's how that got hooked up. It got hooked up between Twitter and Instagram.
I also unfollowed you on Twitter.
No, you did not.
No, I didn't.
I bet you did.
No, I didn't.
If I didn't have 4,000.
Check right now. I follow you.
If I didn't have 5,000 things running here,
I see your posts all the time where you post other shows from the network. So
well,
I
have it set up anytime something hits the Audio Boom feed.
So I follow you.
I'd be surprised. We get a lot of traction on Audio Boom.
Listen,
they're one of the OGs, man. We originally got an Audio Boom before they were Audio Boom.
Before they were Audio Boo.
Audio Boo. Like our audio girl. Like our, oh, you my boo. What? Do the kids still say boo anymore?
I think they say bay.
Oh, it's bay now?
I don't know what
That's
it is.
So dumb.
It might just be whore.
Why can't you just say babe? Like, what's the problem with an extra B? Are we running out of B's, Kevin?
We're...
Yeah. I made Kevin a corpse.
We're running out of a lot of things, Tony.
Yeah, it's true.
And a lot of it is time before we have Barry Horowitz on... The Shining
that
Wizards.
That was a terrible
hotline.
Segue.
That was great.
After you corpsed at my joke.
I didn't corpse. I just couldn't think of anything.
You couldn't contain yourself.
I couldn't think of anything clever to respond with. Because I was thinking of, what I was thinking of was the line from Half-Baked. Yo, that's Killer B.
Like, yeah, that guy called everybody B.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking of, but I couldn't get a line out.
Isn't he the guy that told everybody off and then he said, you're cool and F you, I'm out of here?
No, that was Jim Brewer.
Oh, Jim Brewer?
No, that was
the B guy.
Yeah, it was the B guy.
God, that was such a good movie, too.
Great movie. I smoked pot with Jim Brewer.
Get out of here, for real?
Yep.
When was this?
Towson University.
Oh.
He was performing.
Was I was going to say. Were you like, oh, Mr. Brewer, I'm an aspiring comedian?
No, I wasn't a comedian at this point. I was in college.
How did you get hooked up with him?
He was staying in the hotel that allows seniors to live if you have a certain grade point average. So this.
When you said seniors, I was thinking of like
old people. People. No, but like seniors in college, if they had a certain grade point average, they could live at the hotel for a nominal fee. And they happened to be recruiting me to pledge the fraternity, Teak, which is actually the Big Show's fraternity.
Oh God, you joined Teak?
No, I didn't join Teak. I joined Phi Sigma Kappa or Phi Kappa Sigma, but then I got kicked out because I punched the president in the face.
Why did you do that?
Because I thought he stole my Banana Republic jacket.
Wait, is he the guy that you got into the fist fight with and then took a cab home with together?
No.
Man, you were a brute in college.
No, but those are the only... Listen, I'm not a tough guy. It's
You sure act like one.
No, but every time I was smart in the way that I got into fights... I got into fights that I knew that would get broken up right away. So I was a little bitch, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
But this guy, I thought he stole my $200 Banana Republic jacket, which as a kid fresh out of high school was a shit ton of money, which it still is a shit ton of money.
Do you still have the Banana
Republic? No, I think I left it in the cab, actually. But I accused him of stealing it. He's like, get the fuck out of here. I punched him in the face and everyone tackled me.
Wow. Did you get beat up on the way out?
No.
Was it one of those situations where they lifted you over your head and threw you out the
door? No. They were actually pretty cool about it because they respected my moxie, I guess, for lack of a better word.
For punching somebody in the mouth after they told you that they didn't steal your shit.
Yeah, well, he kind of got in my face, so I hit him before I thought he had the chance. So that's a true story, people.
I absolutely believe it. So then you wound up smoking with Jim Brewer.
No, different story, different day.
Oh, because it was a
fraternity that was recruiting me. And we went to the hotel room. He was in the hotel the next... He actually mentioned us on his stage during his show.
Yeah, so Kevin Garifo and I...
No, he didn't mention me. He mentioned... He's like, we were all in the front. So he was like, man, I know these guys. They got a bong like a helicopter or some shit like that. I remember it. Go Tigers!
I don't know how to process that right now. That was awesome.
It's a true story, man.
Well, for some more true stories, I think we're going to reach out to Mr. Horowitz.
Let's call him up.
Let's give him a call. Why can't...
Oh, boy.
Why isn't it letting me call him? What's going on here? No, I don't want to... Really?
No, man.
No, just call him for... All right, I'm going to have to dial it in. Oh, here we go. Look at that. It worked. I don't know what happened there.
Oh, boy.
As we patiently wait.
Oh, boy.
Hello.
Hello, is this Mr. Horowitz?
Yes, it is.
It's Tony, brother. How are you?
Good, Tony. How are you?
Not too bad. We are live right now. We're broadcasting on TuneIn Radio. We are on rantymradio.com. We are also on Facebook via the Mevo app.
Oh, my God.
Wow, I couldn't even say that. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a proper introduction. I guess there is no introduction. One of the greatest performers in the history of pro wrestling.
That's good.
Don't take the losing streak for granted. He was the guy that made everybody look great, and he had a chance to shine as well. One and only, Mr. Barry Horowitz. It's
thank
Kevin
you,
and I.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be doing the Shining Wizards. I love it.
We are happy to have you. Like I told you earlier, Kevin is here, and Kevin's chomping at the bit to do some old school wrestling talk with you, sir. But first of all, how are you tonight?
Pretty darn good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Barry, what made you decide to get back out there into the old into the media world and get some stories out there? Like, what made you try to jump back and get on the podcast loop?
Well, actually, I just it's one of those things you snooze, you lose, and I wasn't paying attention to social media, and I had some tragedies in the family. My daughter was sick, so family comes first, and put the career on the back burner for now. But now everything is cleared up. I've been training again, back in the gym. Everything's fallen into place, and I'm loving it. So the wait was definitely worth waiting for.
So you've always been kind of a gym guy. What's a day in the life of a workout for Barry Horowitz?
I mostly train. Well, now I'm on a different training regimen. I'm always changing it up. But basically now, just the comeback trail was cardio 6 days a week, about 45 minutes to an hour, 6 days a week in the Florida sun, outside, uphill, downhill. Some ab work, and it was just that because I had some injuries with sciatic nerve, a knee injury from heavy squats, and now for the last probably 6 months, 5 months, back in the gym, the cardio dropped down a little bit, but the gym is a little bit different. I'm actually working out of a garage, not my own, a friend of mine's, and on purpose, just that old school feeling. Just some old school 80s rock, no people around, just completely old school. You know, like going back, like if you remember in, I think it was Rocky 3 or 4, where they went to the Tough Gym, Apollo took them there. And it's just everything is just old school. And that's what I wanted. The exercises I haven't did. And I'm in there at least an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then I'm doing anything, anywhere from, wow, I do that, the weights, of course, the diet, back on all my supplementation, and I take care of all that because I'm a certified nutritionist because I went to school for that before wrestling at FSU. So probably between all of that I told you, the bonus is I'm probably doing, and this is still weak for me, about 1,000 crunches a week for abs. But the push-ups are close to 1,000 a week.
That's insane.
I wasn't able to do those before, shoulder injuries, tricep injury. But now everything's back, so I'm doing this for a while. And then a couple more months, I'll probably drop this routine, and then I'm joining a new gym, just like a new diet, whole new atmosphere, close to my house, and all innovative stuff. and it'll be other things that I'll incorporate. So I'm always changing it up.
It's unbelievable.
Awesome. And that's about it. I mean,
that's all.
I mean, well, that's it. And then my diet, of course, is pretty darn good. I mean, I weigh 220, but I consume about 250 a day in protein. And then your basic carbs, your sweet potato, your rice, a lot of tuna, a lot of egg whites, a lot of protein powder, a lot of good protein bars, a lot of everything natural, a lot of organic products, a lot of water, at least a gallon a day, if not more. I try to keep the sodium and sugar very low, and I need at least 8 hours sleep always.
No, that's
makes sense.
Absolutely.
And my next investment is going to be a portable hyperbaric chamber. Yeah, seriously.
I 100% believe that after everything that you just told us. One of the things I want to ask you before we get into a little bit about your career, you said you went to school, you studied to become a nutritionist. Obviously, it sounds like to me, like, I don't know too much about the nutritionism myself, but it sounds to me, you know what you're talking about. And another thing that you're absolutely known for throughout your career is, I don't want to say frugal, but you never got into the partying lifestyle that a lot of the boys went through. And it's funny you mentioned that, because especially in the 80s, like, a lot of the guys were known for, you know, doing things that maybe they're not so proud of these days, or, you know, pretty much spending their money before they could even get it home to, you know, to put it away, to put it to good use. How did you manage to stay away from all that when the temptation was always there?
Well, number one, had a family. I'm a grown-ass man, and I'm not a follower. I'm a leader. I've always been that way throughout my whole athletic, whole adult lifehood. I'm just not doing it, and it's not happening. Would it further my career? Maybe, maybe not. If I could sit here and say that I should have did that, I still would go with what I'm doing now, and I still do it. You know, never into the partying scene. When I leave the house and I got plane ticket in hand, it starts right there. It starts right there. What's next? You get on the plane. I'm flying into, I don't know, Vegas or something, or Allentown, Pennsylvania. You know, get the hotel room, get a rent a car, whatever they have set up for me. It's all business. It's not for sightseeing. It's not to go to movies, this and that. I mean, if I'm in a place like when I was in Tokyo or whatever, and you had a couple days off, that's a different story. But still, training, rest, eating. That's feed the machine, get it ready, and treat this like a shoot. Don't go overboard, but don't go underboard. Keep it right in the middle, and you should do well. And these guys that blow their money or have a $900 bar tab at 4 a.m, well, good luck for them. And, you know, they're probably complaining now, or they complain about not taking care of themselves. Well, when you're making that kind of money, you can get some insurance. You can go to a chiropractor. You could eat right. You could train. You know, that's up to you. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine, but I'm not doing it.
Can you talk?
I'm going to take care of it.
Can you talk a little bit about, and I don't want to get too deep into, like, the financial aspect of wrestling, but back when you were on every show, but, you know, you were at a lower spot in the card for the most part. We'll call a spade a spade here. But can you tell us what the pay scale was kind of like back then?
Well, I don't want to discuss that.
Right.
Let's put it this way. It was good. Believe me, it was good. I was on the road more than I was off. So it was good. I mean, you know, extra little things, behind the scene things, like, remember that Pile Driver album or something?
Absolutely.
Came out back in the day? You know, when I was in that, and a lot of times you don't see me, a lot of times you do. That's extra, that's bonus, stuff like that. So it adds up. And then, you know, royalty checks and so forth. And now it's at a whole different level. So, but it was, let's put it this way, it was very good to me.
Right, and I totally didn't mean to overstep in that line of questioning.
No problem.
It was just something curious to me, because I'm always curious about, like, placement on the card and how that works for people's lifestyles. That's all.
Sure. Yeah.
So let's get into the career. What do you think? What was your, like, shining star moment for you? Like, where you realized where you were, what you were doing, and how awesome it was to be exactly where you were?
Well, a couple things. First was, I guess I, in this order, you know, winning the Florida heavyweight title from Mike Graham in his hometown and my state, that was pretty big. I mean, that was pretty big. And then, you know, the global light heavyweight title was pretty nice. Cool. And then, of course, working for the WWF, the lights, the glitter, the pyro. Then when I got the push with Skip, I mean, I was basically on every pay-per-view. I was the captain of my team on Survivor Series, King, you know, I was in King of the Ring, In Your House matches, did a commercial with Hakushi for Mattel's Karate Fighters, Karate Knockout Fighters.
Wow, Karate Fighters.
So, it's pretty darn good.
So I don't want to jump ahead. There's so much I want to talk about, but that you mentioned the push with Skip. What was that like? And I'm sure you get this question a lot nowadays that you're back out there. But that moment with Skip, you got the win. You're getting the run that you may have always wanted. How did that feel? Was it that big a deal, or was it just business as usual for you?
A little bit of both. It was a big deal because that's what I've strived for, always to get a push in the WWF. I mean, it's the mecca of all wrestling. And to get a push, you know, anything is better than nothing. And I was ecstatic about it, but I didn't let it get to my head or anything. I just handled it business as usual and progress and make it even better.
Do you think the fans were more excited? Because this was weird for you, because you were always known as a heel, and you were wrestling a heel, and you got a win over a heel. So do you think the fans were more excited for you than maybe you were for yourself? Because I remember it. I was like 12 years old.
Maybe a little bit of both.
What's that?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Because I remember being like, oh my God, what just happened? Like,
that's the idea.
This is straight up honest, just from my memory, because I remember it like it was yesterday. And the fact that you were always a bad guy and you were always the antagonist, you know, patting yourself on the back, all that stuff. And then you get a win over a heel, and all of a sudden you become like the most beloved character in the whole company.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I prefer heel, but whatever you want to do.
So did that mean anything to you, playing a babyface for the first time? Oh, no, maybe not the first time, but the...
A little bit. Yeah, I had to change things around a little bit. But nowadays, you know, everybody's a heel. Everybody's a babyface. It really doesn't matter. It's about entertaining and getting the match over.
Yeah, and that's what you did.
And you got to work with so many like people who are on the cusp of becoming big names at that point. I know you had teamed on and off with the 1-2-3 Kid. You had matches against Steve Austin, Triple H,
everybody. Yeah, everybody but Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a who's list, and a lot of stuff that I didn't even remember. Like, you actually had a shot against Jeff Jarrett when he was the IC champ.
Oh yeah,
like that's big stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a awesome. Question? Is there a question there, Tony?
I am just mesmerized. You know what? Let me
come on, Tony. Quit marking out and give me the question.
How did you wind up teaming up with Reno Riggins? Was that just something like, hey, let's just put Barry with Reno and figure something out?
No, because I was wrestling in USWA for Jared Promotions, and Reno was breaking in. He was taught by the great Tojo Yamamoto.
Yes,
rest in peace. And became friends with him. I lived in Nashville for 10 years and just became friends. And I think they seen it and just put us together. I mean, we went overseas together, did a little about a week straight with the Bushwhackers. And and Reno and I are, you know, we're friends too. And he's my style of type of wrestling too. He's a technician also.
Back in that era, there were guys that like were always considered, for lack of a better term, enhancement talent. But it was guys like that are always in the same group to me are you. Mm-hmm. And even later, like Jim Brunzel, Jim Power, Steve Lombardi. Was there some sort of like camaraderie between you guys? Was there like a different level of friendship between you?
I don't know. Sometimes there wasn't. It was strange. Yeah, there was some. Some were... You know, we we were just, you know, teammates, and then some were outcasts, or I don't know, maybe they're just grunted, or maybe they just didn't want to hang out. I don't know.
Yeah, because for some reason, I always, like, it's such a weird thing looking back as a fan.
Wait, you thought they were all, like, boys?
I thought they all had something in common, because, like, I mean, Barry Horowitz was a star, Jim Powers was a star, but then they would always be used to put other guys over. And
I gotcha.
So, like, I wondered if there was ever a camaraderie there just on, based on what your
role was. I think a little bit.
I think a little bit.
It depends on the situation, but I think a little bit.
Right. All right. So that's basically what I wanted to know there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing a lot of people may not know, I know you mentioned you worked a lot in Florida. You worked with Mike Graham, who you consider to be, I guess, for lack of a better term, a role model. But maybe not a lot of people know that you trained under Boris Malenko.
Wow.
What was that like?
The best. The best. The best ever. I'm going to give it to you in this order, okay? Building the foundation of Barry Horowitz. First of all, back then, it was hard to break in. I mean, if you just said, I want to be a pro wrestler, and you go down to Tampa, and basically you're going to get a tryout with Hiro Matsuda or somebody of that, and they're going to discourage you. They're going to try to wear you out, blow you up, break your leg, something, see how tough you are. So that was tough right there, just getting in. And I had a friend of a friend that I never get to mention on interviews, and I want to do this because it's very important to me to give him this much respect and props. His name is Lenny Greenberg, and he's a multimillionaire, and he owns, to this day, I think he's passed away, Starkey Road Auto Parts in Seminole, Florida. It's huge. It's acres and acres. He's a very well-respected businessman, friend. Told me of a friend, and he introduced me to him, and he says, okay, I think I could do something for you. I have connections. I know people. And he introduced me to some business people, and then they set up this thing with Malenko, like basically like a tryout and an interview. I went to a judo school owned by Ed Malley. He's a judo champion. To this day, I think he's in his 80s. And I'm pretty sure he's still alive, but went to this judo school. Now, remember, it's old school. It's mats. And I signed up with Malenko, and I was ecstatic. And maybe there was 20 of us. And really, out of that class, I stayed there a year and a half. Only two of us really made it. I mean, made it. Nothing against the other guys, but the drive wasn't there. And it was me and Al Perez.
Nice.
Wow. That's some nice
and,
company.
And yeah. Well-respected athlete. Good guy. I haven't talked to him or seen him since we were partners in All Japan, and that's in the 90s. So I think I'm going to be seeing him pretty soon, though, at a reunion in Florida. So that's pretty interesting. But I was trained with Malenko, and let me tell you something. I was taking falls, bumps, backdrops from the likes of Jody Malenko, Shelly Malenko, Carl Gotch, Carl von Stronheim, and the great Malenko himself. And then we moved into a mattress factory. Yeah, which is about 104 in the summer and 40 degrees in the winter. One ring, then it turned into two rings. And this is after, you know, I was working a part-time job, training. I'd go there for 3 hours, 3 to 4 times a week. Barely any breaks, anything like that for a year and a half. That's how you train. That or get broken in Japan. That's how you respect the business. That's how you learn everything. And what was built there between Lenny Greenberg, Boris Malenko, the training is the foundation of Barry Horowitz. The getting polished was hitting the road and traveling 6 nights a week with the likes of Rick Steamboat, Jay Youngblood, Bob Orton Jr., Ric Flair, Johnny Weaver, Wahoo McDaniel. The list goes on and on. And what is it? Rufus R. Jones, Jimmy Valiant. What do? Shut up and listen and watch all the matches. That's how you become a better athlete, a better pro wrestler. Watch films, everything. And I was doing it all.
That's a hell of a crew. Those names you just rattled off right there.
Oh, yeah. I probably left Bugsy McGraw. I left out, I'm sure, you know, I don't mean to, Chavo Guerrero Sr. Man, there was a lot. Nikita Koloff, Ivan Koloff, Don Kernodle, Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, God.
I know, it's...
We do this every week, and we've had many, many guests on.
Hundreds of guests.
But what you just said, just like we're sitting here, and we're just like our jaws are like dropping because we're because at the end of the day,
just
we're
talking
all,
just talking the truth. Yeah, wait until the book comes out.
We're all fans at heart, and we love, like, I'm sure our diehard listeners love Barry Horowitz and love the history of Barry Horowitz. I'm going to jump around a little bit here with these next couple questions.
Sure.
Global Wrestling Federation.
Here we go.
You mentioned becoming the light heavyweight champion, Tony, I believe two times, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I want to ask you about is when you became the winner, Barry Horowitz. And I think did that start when you beat Terry Daniels and then you had like that belt? With like the black belt with the silver plate?
Yeah, I think that was all Eddie Gilbert's idea. And, yeah, I mean, it was cool. It's exposure and in the iconic Dallas Sportatorium where the Von Erichs and Flair and everybody else made famous. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, yeah, I was there for maybe a year, the GWF. I liked the commentators, Scott Hudson and Craig...
Oh, what was his name?
Last name. Craig Wiseman? No, Craig Wiseman. I don't think it's Wiseman. But Craig, anyway, those guys were fantastic. And it was cool there. There was a lot of people. Sam Houston was there, the handsome stranger, a.k.a. Buff Bagwell, the 1-2-3 kid. Lightning Kid, excuse me.
Correct.
yeah, there was, Rod Price.
I remember
a bunch of people, Chaz
and Tugboat Taylor and
that's right, yeah.
And then they
Tugboat Taylor, Chaz.
They had the that bungee cord match. It was Chaz and somebody. I forget. Wrestling on ESPN is so weird to me now thinking back about it. Did you guys realize? I mean, you guys were kind of neck and neck with ESPN, kind of breaking out. Not neck and neck, but you mean you were a part of
it. Yeah, yeah.
So, did you realize what kind of exposure you were possibly getting being on like the first?
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I loved it. It's awesome. Heck yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Does anyone know where that belt is?
No, I have no idea. That's a good question. I keep tabs of a lot of stuff, but that one eludes me. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll make that our mission to try to track down that belt.
Well, we are, Kevin and I are the belt marks of the show. Like
we love belts.
Like pictures, belts that we never knew existed, anything about them. Like, you know, from the most garbage looking belts to the most beautiful belts. We are definitely into them. Let me switch gears for you real quick.
Sure.
You were part of one of the greatest streaks ever in pro wrestling. You got to work Bill Goldberg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that like being part of history and I guess the Barry Horowitz way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. It was, like you said, business as usual to me. I mean, I've wrestled everybody. It was cool.
Let me ask
you, you know,
how did you go to WCW? How did that deal kind of work out? And what was your, were you just like, you know, brought in for certain shows? I mean, I remember seeing you a lot.
Actually, my run was up. I think it could have progressed longer in the WWF, but that's not my decision. I'm still grateful. So I'm not whining or anything, but I think, you know, other people have did it, but that's fine. And, went to WCW after I finished up there and, basically stayed there until Vince bought it.
That's right. You were there. You were there for a long
time.
You
know what sucks is when he bought it, 2 weeks before, I was doing an angle with Alan Funk, and it was going to progress.
Oh, yes.
And we were really getting into it.
Kiwi,
it
right? Kiwi, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, it just came to my mind. I don't mean to interrupt you. I forgot that I was the third bird also.
The third bird?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was with the Freebirds, and we did some makeup thing on my face. We only did it a couple times for TV, and I was called the third bird.
This just completely escapes me. You're gonna have to elaborate on this one.
What's that?
You gotta fill us in. How does this come
That's
about?
That's it. I don't know exactly. Michael Hayes thought of something, and I don't know if it was once or twice on TV. I don't know what the reason was, but I was happy. It was cool. I mean, yeah, the third bird.
I am going to have to look this up.
I forgot about that, actually. Yeah. It just, I don't know what rose through my mind. It just came through my mind there. And,
that's so funny.
Yeah.
Man, it's so great.
Yeah.
When you said third bird, I thought maybe it was like the Knights you were thinking of for Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah. I was going to go there, too. No, that's just plain, blunt, Red Knight. That's it. Red Knight.
Did you enjoy your time in WCW working for Eric Bischoff and the likes?
Yeah. I only talked to Eric maybe once, and it was fine. Yeah, Nitros were cool. The other show, the Thunders, and then the Saturday main event, Saturday night show. It was pretty cool going to Universal Studios in Florida, and yeah, it was really cool. Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird because I'm looking at the names of guys that you had the chance to work with, and once again another who's who of wrestling from a completely different, well, maybe not completely different, but just like a whole other generation of wrestlers coming in. You know, like I'm looking like Alex Wright, who was an up and comer at the point, Disco Inferno,
yeah.
You know, Wrath, all those guys, and of course you know, part of a Goldberg streak. You know, stuff with Jim Duggan. So it's like Barry Horowitz has wrestled anybody who's been anybody in the business.
Pretty much.
From the 80s forward into the 2000s. It's insane. I'm sorry if I'm having another markout moment, sir, but whew.
Oh, that's all right. I'm going to quote Tim White Lightning Horner. And he said this about himself, myself. It's nothing bad. Brad Armstrong was part of this too. We're star makers.
Right.
And it's not a bad thing
at all.
You
know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Star maker.
When I was a kid, I was always fascinated with guys that, you know, that would go out there and make everybody look good. You know, guys like your Jose Luis Rivera and your... And your Rick
Hunter. Jose Estrada, Matt Luis Rivera.
Yeah.
Johnny Rods. But think about it. In the wrestling business, guys, there's got to be a winner. There's got to be a loser. It's all over. It's in MMA. It's in football. It has to be. Not everybody could be Kevin Nash. Not everybody could be Bret Hart. Not everybody could be Shawn Michaels. It can't be. It won't get over. It'll be boring. You can't have that.
Do you think that that's a lost mindset these days, where a lot of the guys, or maybe even more of the guys, like don't really necessarily follow that? I mean, like, we've had stories that we've been following lately when it comes to guys like an Austin Aries
They're very protective of their egos.
Yes, very of their spots of, like, you know, they don't want to lose. You know, like, your thoughts on that?
I don't know about that. I was never. It sounds like an insecurity thing. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, all I worried about is, you know, I knew I'd take care of my matches and do what I was told, and what have you. But I was just, my main concern was just keep on wrestling and working and being booked and stuff. Not about, well, I need to, you know, I'm leaving or I'm quitting because you're, you know what I mean? I mean, If you're really worried about your career total or your win-loss record, maybe you should join MMA, because you'll get a tune-up in about 1 minute after you get knocked out or stretched or submitted or tapped out.
Sure.
Real quick.
Yep.
So if you're a tough guy, why don't you just go in there, you know, with the likes of Ken Shamrock, Tito Ortiz, or Frank Mir, Matt Hughes, Randy Couture, they'll tune you up real quick.
That first name you mentioned, Ken Shamrock. I read something I didn't know about you as well. you know
that?
Where I'm going. Your first run in WWF, you actually got to work with Ken Shamrock. What was
oh
that?
Yeah yeah.
What was that like?
He came in, I think, 95. Not great. Great guy, very respectful. Caught on to the pro wrestling business. Pretty cool. Did excellent in MMA. I respect him a lot. I haven't seen him since probably 95. I'm trying to think. Pretty sure. Yeah, he was Intercontinental Champion. Then he went back to MMA and did well.
Yeah, so we had him on the show a few years ago. Awesome guy to talk to. Yeah. He had some great stories.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And a lot
he's
of
real
people,
good guy.
A lot
Hell of
people,
an athlete.
They don't realize that he actually started in pro wrestling before he wound up going to Pancrase and doing the UFC stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people, yeah. people in the mid-90s, they see Ken Shamrock coming in like, wow, he's the MMA fighter, but they don't realize that, no, he was a trained pro wrestler before he even touched MMA.
You know, it's funny, too. You ever watch that show back in the day that with Chuck Norris, Walker, Texas Ranger?
Oh, yeah.
How about when they dedicated, well, not dedicated, had an episode about prison fighting? Who's the star? Frank Shamrock.
Yeah.
Frank, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Back in the day when he was the crap. I mean, Frank Shamrock was, you know, he's good, real good.
All of them. The Shamrock boys, man. I would never mess with either one of them.
No, not a good idea.
Barry, let me switch gears to a complete 180 right here. We have a third Shining Wizard. He's not here tonight. His name is Matt. He had a question for you. We're, in addition to being belt marks, we love wrestling figures and action figures.
I know where this is going.
But I have to ask, because it bothers me, and it bothers Matt, and it bothers Tony. Why did we never get a Barry Horowitz action figure?
Well, okay, there was a shirt. There's a trading card.
Yes.
There is an action figure deal. We're working on it right now. It's in the process. And there is, if you go to my Facebook or if you go to the internet, you will see me posing with it, the prototype of it. And it's really cool. But we're in the process of working a deal where that will be done probably by the end of the year or in the middle of the year. And it's really cool. I think they're going to use the old school of blue trunks, black boots, and possibly maybe the mullet. I'm not sure. We could have both, actually.
That'd
so
be
that
awesome.
Would be cool.
A variant.
A mullet variant. Yeah. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Because you cut that. I think when you went to WCW, you cut that thing off.
Actually, I cut it in WWF.
Did you? Yeah, actually, I remember that.
I just
yeah.
got tired of it, actually, and just, I just got tired of it. Now my hair is cut like Blake Shelton. It is.
No, I believe
it.
Just
so happens, I've had it before him, but I'm a country music fan, so that's my hobby. I mean, that and Madden.
Well, wow. Well, if you're ever up in New Jersey, I got the perfect perfect bar for you to come to listen to some country music.
Barry will be
up. Well, I'm going to be... Yeah. I'm going to be in Jersey in 2 weeks for a huge legend show, June 1st in Monroe.
That's good. Right.
New Jersey.
Beautiful Monroe.
Oh, it's big.
Yep.
Me and Reno Riggins will be side by side at the table doing the signings.
Wait. So Reno Riggins is coming up here to do the...
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hot take
That's a game changer. No pun intended.
It is a game changer.
Yeah.
If you'd like to see Barry, head on over to legendsoftheRing.com. That's next Saturday, June 1st. That's in Monroe.
Yeah.
And let me give out the Facebook page real quick. It's facebook.com/officialBarryHorowitz. I know he's close to that 5,000 friend mark, but please give him a follow. Check out the picture of the prototype, too.
I sent a request. I'm looking for a response.
So you're too late. Son.
I know. I might be.
Barry.
Yeah, that thing is the Facebook thing is really cool. It keeps people in touch with everything and also... If people are trying to get promoters and say it's a little bit for everybody and it's been doing well. It's only been up and running maybe 3 weeks and it's unbelievable. My buddy Del Wilkes, aka the Patriot, he's on Facebook every day and he says every time you post something you get 400 to 800 likes. He says that thing is incredible.
Yep.
So. I said, wow, thanks.
Yeah, Del's another cool guy. I chat with him periodically.
We love Del Wilkes.
Yes. Del Wilkes is awesome, fantastic athlete, and he's a good guy. I consider him a friend. And, you know, I forgot who told me this, but if you want a friend in the wrestling business, buy a dog.
Awesome.
That's such a great line.
I think that's the perfect way to...
Well, I did want to tell you one story. You said you worked in All Japan. You never had a chance to work with anybody like a Stan Hansen or anyone like that, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Now,
wrestled against him and was his partner with Johnny Ace in a six-man.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I asked, when Del was on the show, I asked him, what's it like to take the lariat? And he said the trick is just to get in as close as you can, because if you don't, he'll kill you.
He's right. He's exactly right. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
That is.
And Del
awesome.
And Stan are good buddies.
Oh yeah, that's the funny
They're
thing
good
too.
Friends.
Like Stan would beat the hell out of people, but you're buddies with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
One of my all-time favorites, Stan Hansen. Any good stories you got from Japan?
Not really. No, I mean, I can't. No, just that I enjoyed it there. The people are so respectful, and the food was awesome. The traveling was awesome. I mean, I got to go across the longest bridge in the world on a tour bus. Then I was on some kind of, what was it? I'm trying to think. Oh, the boat. The boat was so big the tour bus could fit on it, and it would take it like a ferry across waters. I was on the bullet train. That was incredible, and couldn't even tell you were on a train. It was incredible how fast it went. And just the wrestling fans are just utmost respect. And that downtown Tokyo, the Ginza area, just phenomenal. It was just... it was just very good. I felt very safe there, too.
That's one thing we
Hotels were beautiful.
Yeah, it's one, that's a, pretty much the story we hear from everybody that's gone to Japan about right. the people yeah, being
Japan
respectful.
Japan is beautiful. Love the Tokyo area, which is the most expensive. That and Hong Kong.
Did you happen to try Ribera Steakhouse while you were there?
You know, I've never been there. And I did almost everything I've wanted to, bucket list, in my career. And that was one of them, and I never got... And then I hear from other people, it's not a big deal, Barry. It's just a little place or a little crap hole or something. I said, really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like what you're thinking and, you know, get the jacket and all that stuff. So, oh, well, you can't do everything. But I did mostly everything I wanted to except Ribera's.
Well,
who knows? Never know.
Yeah, it's not
Still
too late.
Can get there.
If you want to book Barry Horowitz, facebook.com/officialBarryHorowitz.
Yeah.
Let's get him the hookup. Get him back to Japan.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you check that one off the list.
The new invented Mr. Technical Barry Horowitz.
Oh, there you go.
Fucking genius.
That's him. That's it.
Kevin, where
are you guys exactly from?
We're both from New Jersey.
We're all from Jersey.
That's right.
You know, we're broadcasting
That's right, because
from our town.
You know the deal about that. You could tell a guy from New Jersey, but you can't tell him much.
Yeah, we're right outside Newark, right outside the airport,
right outside
basically.
Newark, in a stone's throw from the Meadowlands.
Yeah, and
oh my god,
about 25 half hour outside of New York City.
Well, depending on traffic.
Yeah.
Right, Which been there, done that. Been in those little towns, Elizabeth, Carteret.
Yep,
all those Edison Woodbridge.
I think
lived
you did
in Belmar for 2 years.
Didn't you do a signing at Russell Pro at some point recently? Am I making that up?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay, I thought I saw you there. So there's that. So you're very familiar with New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Belmar.
Yeah, Barry Horowitz is all over, like Coca-Cola's all over America.
and you'll get to know Monroe quite well next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to it.
We plugged Legends of the Ring. We plugged the Facebook. We have the fact that the action figure's coming. We know Reno Riggins is going to be joining you.
So excited about that action figure.
At Legends. Is there anything else that we can plug before we let you go, Barry? Anything else that you want
to
mention?
I'm trying to think because my main thing was to everything that you guys asked, but it was very important to me about Lenny Greenberg. He's a great man, and it bothers me a little bit. I guess I got caught up in things. This is years ago that I really never got to invite him to a match like the iconic Bayfront Center, the Fort Hesterly Armory, the Lakeland Civic Center. These are all iconic buildings in Florida, and I never got to do that. He's busy. I got busy on my career. It wasn't like I got the big head. It was just, you know, you just get busy and you forget, and it's a bad thing to forget. So if his family's listening – or what have you, I've spoke to him before, you know, I deeply apologize, and just a great man, because if he didn't introduce me, I don't know where I would be right now. I don't know if I would have got in on my own. I don't know, but I'm not going to question that. I'm going to question that he opened the door, and I shut it.
That's a great moment.
Yeah, man.
That's a great moment right there.
Yeah. And also the Boris Malenko, because the way guys are getting broken in, I'm not knocking anybody. There's great trainers out there. But, you know, if you're trained by somebody that's been in the wrestling business 2 years and you're getting trained for 6 months, that ain't getting it.
Yeah.
That ain't getting it. Mm-mm.
They could use somebody like you down at the Performance Center, honestly.
Believe me, I've already – thanks. There's another plug, because I will – that is my forte, is inspirational speeches, talking to guys, talking about the business. There's – I think Pat Patterson said it well one time. He says, how did he say this? It was like, 70% of the business is in the locker room, 30% is in the ring. So think about it, the locker room, the networking, the talking, the respect. There's a lot of things that are, you know, behind the scenes that people need to be taught and learned and respected. And I could go into Monroe, New Jersey. I could go into any of your independent leagues in Jersey, Boston, wherever, Alabama, Tennessee. I could tell as soon as I walk in, if there's students there, how respectful they are and if they're real. If they're faking it, if they're real, but most of them, they're not faking. They don't know how to, so they're being sincere. That's where I have respect because I was taught that too. You may be a little bit nervous, but if you're walking around and thinking you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, I have no time for you.
We're going to let you go, but that was something that triggered another question for me.
No, go ahead.
Because I have spent a lot of times in locker rooms, and I get nervous when I see stars. Like, mm-hmm. I saw you at that WrestlePro show, and I felt weird, and I didn't come and say hello. I didn't.
You should have.
I know, but I'm a jerk. So, like, it's so weird for me. I get super nervous, like, and I've been doing this for 8 years, and I still get nervous every time when I see somebody that I look up to, and I feel weird going up to them. Is that
the next time? Sorry.
No,
the next
ahead,
time
ahead.
You do that, I'm going to drop toe hold you and then put the Shinin no Maki on you.
Oh, I hope so.
And I bet you don't even know what that word means, the Shinin no Maki, a.k.a. in America, the Cobra Clutch.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Made it famous, the Shinin no Maki? Mr. Saito.
Yep.
Oh. Dropping knowledge.
And you will be sleepy.
Oh, heck
time.
Yeah. Don't challenge me on it.
No, never.
Don't even.
Not even.
Never.
Listen, Barry Horowitz, I'm not going to challenge you on anything.
Because remember now, guys, there's a lot of great wrestlers out there, but Barry Horowitz wrestles great.
Awesome. We got to get Barry down at the Performance Center. We got to get him in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Gotta.
Absolutely.
Yes. I'm ready to train people. I'm enthused. I love it. It's a passion. I don't need books. I don't need pen and paper. I don't need notes. I don't need anything. Everything's in the old computer upstairs.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Fucking love it.
This was a blast, Barry. We got to have you on again real soon.
Oh, definitely. I'd love it.
Awesome, man.
Heck yeah. The Shining Wizards are the she is it.
All right, Barry, we hope you had a good time because we sure did.
I did. So. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Enjoy your night, brother. We'll be in touch.
You too, brother.
Take care, Barry.
Bye, Barry.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good night.
Likewise. Oh, my God.
Barry Horowitz.
Dude, I say this a lot after interviews. Hands down, one of my favorite.
That was great.
Of all time. I hope we did it justice to our fans out there.
Oh, absolutely. You know what the great thing is? Like, he's like, I don't like doing anything on social media. I like doing things by, you know, over the phone. So, like, he's, like, one of the few guys that I've actually, like, talked to set this whole thing up. Just amazing.
Dude.
Just amazing. Like conversations with him, I could have stood on the phone with him for an hour. That's how easy it is to talk to him.
Matt dealt with Vader. Matt said Vader was a talker.
Well, Matt was also having problems with Vader, wasn't he?
No, was he?
I thought he was.
No, I think Vader just wanted to talk to him about random shit.
Oh, he did. Eventually, yeah.
No, I don't think Matt had problems with Vader. I don't
thought he did.
Did
I
he?
Thought Vader was trying to shake him down, and then he changed
oh,
his
at
mind.
First. Yes. Yeah. R.I.P. Vader. We miss you, buddy. You smelly bastard.
Kevin, we have so much more to cover.
So,
after this, I fucked it up. Never
fuck it up. You're not even drinking.
I know I'm not, but Kev, what do we always say?
Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, no, no. It's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
And we're back! DECA!
Oh, we're supposed to play a liner.
Yeah.
Well, to be unprofessional, right here, I'm just going to lower this.
Yeah. Play it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going
to
do.
This is Ian Riccoboni, the voice of Ring of Honor, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
Woo!
Thank you, Ian.
I love you, Enrico Bonney.
And we love our Patreon supporters, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. You can support us for as little as how much, Kevin?
$1.
Wow, I can't even talk tonight. I don't know if I'm mesmerized or I'm just picking up the idiocy from Matt.
I am a very good-looking man, so I can understand why you're mesmerized.
Well, you are handsome, dude.
That's a good point.
That's not a false statement, Dan.
You're right.
I wish this soundboard was a little smoother.
That's fine. As smooth as
the way you look, actually.
That's a good point.
Patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Come support us just for $1. As a matter of fact, if you are in our $5 range, you got the fourth watch along from me. I watched the original Money in the Bank match.
Are you the only one that does watch along so far?
Yes.
So far, yeah. All right.
Well, you know what it is? I had a little extra time Sunday.
And you got the capacity to do it.
I use the H2. You can easily use your iPhone and just sit on the couch and talk into it.
Yeah.
And then just email me the file and I can take care of that. But speaking of taking care of things, let's take care of our Patreon producers.
Woo!
Of course, we start with the Queen of the Wizards, Miss Kathy Hummer, Cindy Ardone, Dan and Anthony Russinello, the AOP.
AOP,
of the SWs,
baby!
Ryan Arthur, Manny Kratzo,
the Dark Helmet, Ryan Arthur, right? Is that him?
Yeah, that's him, Dark Helmet. Good call. Some guy named Matt Garifo.
Oh, he's not related to me at all. But
I don't think so.
No, but Matt, thank you so much.
Mike Martinelli and the Shawns, Sean Toe and Sean Coelho. Kate Hensler, good old Kate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's some other guy on here that I noticed since last we spoke. Brett Ciminello. Does that make sense?
Do I know him?
Brett Ciminello?
Kayfabe, bro?
I don't know, bro.
Kayfabe, bro.
And of course, William Mercier Jr.
Lives are gonna be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
if you spend at least $1 a month, you get to have your name mentioned as one of our producers in a silly fashion every week. We got to come up with some silly ones for everybody else on the list.
I try. Like Chanteau is too easy not to have Chanteau. One for. Chanteau.
I could stick my bare feet up, but
no,
I'm
no,
so glad
no,
they're not on camera.
No, you
no,
can't.
No.
Also, Pro Wrestling Tees, we have a 20% off sale spring into summer.
Good
people.
Call.
And purchase Fake News Tony's t-shirt, Shining Wizards Kevin, Wolfpack NWO themed t-shirt.
That's a hot shirt. Your shirt's been moving.
We're selling, bro.
Matt's shirt's dead in the water, but yours is on fire.
We got to think of another one for Matt.
Yeah, that Uncle Creepy was...
That was a good idea at the time.
Yeah. Well, good thing we
didn't
go...
It's still a great-looking shirt. I'm not going to lie to you.
Good thing we didn't go with my man Pots and Pans for your shirt.
Oh, because,
remember those prototypes I was coming up
oh,
with?
Oh, my God. We had some bad ones. But prowrestlingtees.com/shining wizards. I think it goes until
Monday at noon.
20% off. Guys, join the pack.
Yes.
Get some fake news.
Yes.
Be creepy. Old school with the classic Kick logo or the old school retro WWE fiend logo.
The queen was here last week. She had a custom purple
and gold.
That's awesome.
Take it to the extreme. Get the ECW theme logo.
And
be a mark.
Between you and I, there's a Be a Mark shirt, by the way, too.
That's what I just. That's why I referenced it.
I'm an idiot. That's why.
That's okay.
Kevin likes the long sleeves.
I do.
But
it's summertime.
I recommend the soft shirts.
Yeah.
Spend a couple extra bucks, folks.
I'm
they will keep you from stinking at any convention that you go to because they're not overly heavy. And they just fit you so
well. If you
right.
wear deodorant, it shouldn't be a problem.
Kevin, that's a problem for a lot of people. You know this.
A lot of wrestling fans.
I saw a sign from a woman that was at one of these.
Was it Ace of Base?
I saw a sign. It opened up my eyes. I saw the sign.
Terrible.
Didn't want to hang you up. Libba la ha la he la hoo. Now I know why you got into so many fights in college.
Yeah. I was a weirdo. I wore baby blue a lot.
Shit, you made me forget my train of thought now. I forgot what I was going to say.
It was probably a good idea.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And it was probably a good thing that I let you not remember it.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
But.
You want to move on? Yeah, I'm going to put you in a bad mood now.
It's time for the Shining Wizards! Ah! Big extravaganza thing, whatever!
Ah, yes! Great title!
Part one!
Alright, so Kevin and I were talking. We're just going to do part one now because we do want to cover Money in the Bank. And we figured it'd be apropos to go through our picks for Money in the Bank as we cover the pay-per-view.
Matt screwed it up in his email.
Yeah, Matt did screw it up, but you screwed it up at the pay-per-view.
Oh boy, did I!
Kevin ate his... fat nuts.
Guys, I still got shampoo running down my neck because I took a bath in this pay-per-view picks.
It turns out Matt was the big winner on the day. Matt went 7-3. I don't have all the results, but he this is who Matt took. We can go over it again.
Yeah, I
Matt
got
had
it.
Tony Nese, Rey Mysterio, Kofi Kingston, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins. Those seem to be the easy picks. Shane.
No, wait. Matt didn't have Mysterio.
Matt didn't have Mysterio?
Yes, he did, because he switched.
Yeah, I switched him.
Yeah, he switched. Kevin. Okay, you switched
I'm
him.
Professional, I got this.
All right.
Well. And Matt also picked Bayley for the winner of the Women's Money in the Bank.
Solid pick.
That's a hell of a pick.
Solid pick.
He missed the Men's Money in the Bank, which we all did, and he took Becky Lynch twice. Wait, no, he didn't take Becky Lynch twice. He took Charlotte, and he took Becky Lynch over... See, because he wrote
No,
Lynch.
He did take Becky Lynch twice.
No, he didn't. He put Lynch. He's wrong.
Oh, no, yeah. That's right, because Charlotte beat Becky. That's
yeah,
right.
He took Lynch over...
Lacey Evans. Over Charlotte?
He took Lynch over...
He had to take Lynch
he
over...
He took Lacey Evans over Lynch, and then Lynch over Charlotte. That's what both of you guys did.
Correct.
Yes. So that's why he's got Lynch. He's an idiot, because he wrote Becky for you, too.
Oh, this guy.
I went 6-4...
Wait,
and
Matt wrote for Bono?
Don't kill me. I'm really trying to get through this. No, don't encourage him, people. Don't.
Love you.
So I went 6-4. I had Nese, Mysterio, Kofi, Reigns, Rollins. I took Lacey, I took Lynch, which I won over Lacey. And then I took Becky over Charlotte because I picked Lynch twice.
Wait a second. My match doesn't have... I mean, I lost, but mine doesn't have Joe on it.
Yeah, it does. It has Joe.
Oh, yeah, it does at the end.
You're wow. Right. All right. So Kevin went 4-6.
Oof. Took a bath, boys.
The only ones Kevin got right were Reigns, Rollins, Kofi, and Tony Nese was a wild card. But, yeah, Kevin got all the solid ones. Yeah.
Dude, I see Money in the Bank is one of my favorite pay-per-views only because you would think, ideally, that they would elevate somebody. Am I right or am I?
They elevated somebody.
Well, Bayley, but oh, Brock.
But I mean, Bayley was a nice surprise.
Bayley,
I was really hoping it was going to be Dana Brooke, and for a while, I really thought she was going to pull it out.
I really wanted Ember. I feel like Ember Moon. They haven't completely wasted yet, and they still have a lot left in the tank. And this could have done it. Same thing with Andrade. Like that's why. You've had your Randy Ortons, you've had your Edges, you've had the guys that have already been established, John Cena, who have won the match and, you know, did their thing. But then you've also had the ones that don't work out, like your Baron Corbin's, your Damian Sandow's. Say what you want about Jack Swagger. He cashed in and won the World Heavyweight Championship. But I don't think that was a successful Money in the Bank. This is, you hope that they give a wild, like The Miz is the perfect example.
Well,
I know I'm a Miz guy, but that's the perfect example of what can be done with a Money in the Bank winner. Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy wasn't a Money in the Bank winner. But anyway, I digress. So I always look for them to pick somebody that you don't expect, but you know has the potential to be a main eventer.
I mean, that's why I took Claymore, because I really felt like this would have been a great opportunity to elevate him.
See, I didn't, because he's already there to me, or to the eyes of everyone else. Not so much me, but in the eyes of everyone else, he's already kind of on that level. Worked Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. So to me, he's there. So would I have been upset if he won? Absolutely not. Would I have been upset if Baron Corbin won? 100%.
Yes. Well, the rumor going around was that before the whole Brock Lesnar thing went down,
Ali,
it was going to be Ali or Claymore. They were split either way to go. I don't know if I would have been crazy about Ali winning.
I agree with you.
I don't know if he's at that point yet.
He is a victim of circumstance.
Victim of circumstance.
In my opinion. No. Because he got hurt. Kofi took over.
Yeah.
Did that. So he lost a little steam, in my opinion. And that's no disrespect whatsoever, because I think he's amazing. But I don't think he'll be able to get up back to where he was yet.
Yeah.
I think it'll take time. I think he can do it. And it's all about the people behind him that support him to get him there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had a great showing. And as far as I know from what I've read, he had no idea no one had any idea Brock Lesnar was coming out to win that match.
Yeah, they had a still of like Randy Orton sitting at ringside, and like it was some caption like 8 guys busted their ass.
Which is kind of shady to me, to be honest with you.
What?
How do you not like? I don't want to break down the fourth wall for wrestling.
It's easy. The referees told him don't get in. The referees told him just stay where you are. That's how that goes.
Oh, that's what it was?
It has to be. They have to get some sort of signal at that point saying, like, yeah,
don't take the briefcase. Don't.
Well, no, like, just
Ali
don't.
Was probably tipped off before the match.
I would imagine that they would have had been told something. But that's easy.
I don't know.
There's like 3-4 refs out there for the Money in the Bank, isn't there?
They had a bad night, too, those refs.
Yeah. I heard Ray and Joe got cut off because Joe's nose was broken.
It looked like it was his eye.
Yeah, I don't know. He was fucked. It was just weird. It was, and the fucking Lucha with the fucking.
I didn't know that. Was that even? Did we even? Was that a match that was scheduled?
No, it wasn't. Did that just happen? It never happened. Like they were supposed to. I don't know who they were supposed to wrestle. Like who were they booked against? I don't know. You know what else is weird?
Hawkins and Ryder, maybe.
You know what else is weird? The Usos wrestled on
Daniel Bryan and Rowan,
and they won.
Who did?
The Usos.
They're the tag champs?
No. Oh. It was a non-title match. But that's fucking weird. Even somebody as big as Daniel Bryan is cursed by holding tag belts. Because the tag champs always job. It's ridiculous.
And it's ridiculous that Daniel Bryan's on a pre-show of any pay-per-view.
No, of course. Of course. I like the way all the women's stuff went down. Some of the slopperino. Oof.
I hated that. I think Lacey should have won this match.
No.
But no, I 100% do, but I don't hate the way that they followed up with her being a badass still and still bringing the pain to Becky Lynch. Yeah, so it's salvaged.
It did, and they're going to have some sort of, you know, feud going on from there. But it was, I didn't like the fact that they put both belts on Becky. I do like the fact that Charlotte has something to do now with Bayley. That whole Bayley winning the Money in the Bank, the way she stormed up the ladder after, what's her name, was carrying Mandy Rose up to the top.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was cool. And then, dude, the look she gave her, she's like, no, this is my night. And just wrecked him. And wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
All right.
But then Bayley, like when she
hack jokes,
when she came to the ring and she was conflicted about cashing it in, and then she just shrugged and she just handed it off. I was like, wait, let me ask you this though: what happened to Charlotte that she was completely knocked out? Did I miss something?
If you did, then I did too, because I don't remember it.
Because she went into the corner at that point, and then she was down, and that's when
You know what happened? She went for a spear.
And
Becky moved or something, and they played it off like she hit her head on like the post or something I don't think she really did.
Who was Goldberg wrestling that time when he headbutted the post? Remember he did that?
Bret Hart.
Maybe. He was knocked silly against somebody when they pulled him out of the corner.
Oh, no, wait. That was Goldberg knocking Bret Hart out. Never mind.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, fuck you, Goldberg.
Wow. Whoa! Hot take.
Ruined the career. Ended the career of my favorite wrestler of all time. I can get a fuck you, Goldberg, if I want to.
Tony Nese and Daivari had a good match.
I love you, Goldberg.
Oh, stop it.
No.
Stop it.
I do love
Roman Reigns. Dude, they ruined Elias. Elias is dead in the
Dunzo
water.
Magunzo.
It's ridiculous. Because he was over in England last week. Oh, whoa.
But was he over in England?
Well, he's done. Doesn't matter how.
No, see, Shane, I missed it again.
What?
You said he was over in England. Meaning that he was there in England. I asked, was he over in England?
All right, I get it now.
My man.
You know what I don't get? Shane McMahon winning against The Miz.
I'll tell you why I don't hate this.
I hate it.
I'll tell you why I don't. Because I'm going to make a comparison that's going to blow your mind and you're going to hate it.
You're going to say Zack Ryder?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Who's this?
This storyline has been the most drawn out, progressive one that I've seen that I can remember. Since the fucking mega powers exploding, they've done match after match, and we're gonna have another match. This could go till SummerSlam, and it's our first time seeing in a long time that I can remember. I could be a dummy, and not remember other ones, but we're gonna see this story continue because The Miz, at some point, has to get his win, right?
Yeah, but.
I could be wrong.
Steve Austin was supposed to get his win over Triple H too, and we all learned it. We all saw how that turned out.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
You don't remember that? The best of the Hellfire. They had the three stages of Hell match that was supposed to be the blow off to their feud, and the two of them got knocked out, and Triple H wound up pinning Austin because he fell on top of him.
That's different. Because Triple H is like
God.
Yeah, I mean Triple H was. I don't remember the context of where they were in their careers for this match. Were they both already made?
But
Triple H, they may have been knowing that Triple H had more to offer in the long run.
I didn't like the finish. I thought it was a clever finish. I'll give him credit. But Shane should have lost the move. But now Shane is going to be wrestling Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia in the next 2 weeks.
No.
You didn't see this on
No.
Raw? All right.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Margie. Sorry.
You idiots.
I didn't see this, but that's how furious that makes me.
Because he came out and he challenged Roman Reigns. You remember this on Raw. Reigns challenged him. He said he had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So he said he was going to announce it tonight or some nonsense tonight.
Gross.
I'm trying to think. Kofi's match with Owens.
A lot of fun.
It was fun, but it was a foregone conclusion. Like, at no point did I ever feel that Owens was going to win. However,
which is good. That's tough in this situation because new champ.
But AJ Styles and Seth
match of the year.
You actually felt like AJ might pull it out.
I agree,
and that was the big difference between the two matches.
100% agree.
Okay, all
right, and yeah, you're right. There are definitely times where I thought AJ was actually going to win, which going in I never thought was a possibility. But when you're actually watching the match, God, that finish the. There's so many spots in that match that were just so crisp and so good.
Yep.
That had the potential to not be crisp and not be good.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic.
Even early on with the falsie, when AJ was down on his knees and he went for the stomp, but he didn't get it. Good stuff. Yeah. That went into the Styles Clash, didn't it? Didn't he catch him in midair?
I think that was towards the end, though. Didn't
that was coming toward the end. But yeah. He finished with the stomp. But the first time he went for the stomp, AJ got up and caught him in the Styles Clash when he lifted his leg up.
Incredible.
Crazy. Insane.
That, to me, right now, I mean, I might have to go back and watch some stuff.
Well.
That's match of the year so far for me.
And AJ has the privilege now of working with Baron Corbin.
Listen, I don't hate.
So we got we got Shane.
I don't hate Baron Corbin, but I just hate his.
We got Shane
gear.
And Roman Reigns, and we got Baron Corbin and AJ. Ugh.
At Super Showdown.
I don't know. We'll get to Super Showdown.
That's fine
minute.
For. I mean, if those are the matches for that, that's fine.
So what do you give the pay per view?
La 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 la. Ooh, this is a tough one because normally.
Well,
I'm,
what do you think of the finish? First of all, the end of the pay per view with Brock.
Well, do you like Duty?
I love Duty.
You love Duty?
I make Duty. I take Duty.
The finish was Duty. So if you like talking about Duty, if you like watching Duty, if you like Brock Lesnar taking a big Duty on the end of a fantastic ladder match.
And Jericho trolled the shit out of him, too.
It was Duty.
Go, Brock, go.
It was pure poop.
The match was great up to that point.
The match was fantastic.
I hate this fact that, and then Heyman just writes it off like, oh, we worked a deal out backstage while the match was going on or while the show was going on.
Tony, it's called poopy.
It's so dumb.
It's called Duty.
It's so dumb.
And I hate to do this. I hate to be negative. I hate to shit.
No pun intended.
But it was just, you have a chance to brighten your future by making an Andrade, making an Ali, making a freaking... A Drew McIntyre. I don't give a fuck who you choose. This was just not the way to go. Brock Lesnar will always be over. I get it. The thought of having Brock threaten the champion at any time, whatever. That is what it is. If that's your cup of tea, that's your cup of tea. But it's fucking...
It's dumb. It's so dumb. Brock should have gone away for 6 months. It would have been so much better just to have him go away. He's back a month after Mania. What's the point? At least Ronda Rousey has the sense to go have a family and go away for a while.
Were you surprised that Kofi Kingston didn't get the reaction that he's been getting on TV? Like,
what do you mean? At the pay-per-view?
His entrance. It sounded like there was no pop at all for him.
It's kind of hard for the WWE champion to be coming out to the pancake music.
Yeah.
If he would have came out to SOS.
You know.
Yes. I love that song too, man.
I thought that the exact same time. I'm like, because it didn't have the Big E intro. It didn't have the, it didn't have that either.
Yeah.
So just to come out to, it's a new day. Yes, it is. And then the beat, there's no volume. It's just beat. Ba-dum. So, like, I think that took away from it, which is actually sad, because that means that WWE pops are based on entrances.
But he's the WWE champion. Like, he shouldn't be throwing pancakes. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
No, I'm with you.
Supposedly, Big E was returning tonight, too, so I wonder how that's going to play into it. Maybe he'll get that pop.
Did you think that you were going to see Xavier turn on Kofi when he came out?
When?
At the end of the match?
No.
He came back? Oh, okay. I thought... You, as a wrestling fan, you always think that there's going to be
that.
It
might happen tonight. Who knows? Yeah. It might happen on SmackDown tonight. But now, but Kofi's maybe, I guess the whole thing with Kevin Owens is over. Who knows?
Nah, I can't. I mean, who else is he going to feud with?
Maybe Big E.
Big E, can't
yeah,
you see?
You know. Of course, I can't find SOS on my soundboard. Now I'm disappointed.
Okay.
I'm very disappointed. So... The standings right now, but let's wrap it up, put a bow on it.
Yeah.
I'm in the lead at 56 and 25. You are in second place, two behind at 54 and 27. And Matt with his big 7-3 is closing the gap. He's 53 and 28.
I'm not worried.
Well, I'm not worried yet. But we do have another pay-per-view to cover.
Oh, boy.
Well, all right, listen. How about we do this? Is there anything else we want to cover from Monday Night Raw? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff from Monday Night Raw we should cover.
I'm listening.
Well... Mick Foley. I want to start with this.
That's fine. We love
Mick Foley.
Love him.
It was teased during Money in the Bank that Mick Foley was bringing out a new championship last night.
That's right.
On Raw.
Yep.
So they opened 10 o'clock with Mick. Great. Mick, I think Mick lost a couple more teeth because he was like, like seashells kind of.
By the seashore.
Which doesn't make sense, but work with me.
What, she sells seashells by this seashore?
You sound just like Mick Foley did last night.
Well, it's a tongue twister.
Mick Foley, and first of all, he brings out the belt, and half of the belt's hanging out of the bag already.
Yeah, that bothered me, but That's just.
I was like, it wasn't enough to show what it was.
They should have put it. They should have had it on. Like, you remember how they sometimes they would used to
the table,
a table, yeah, or like a platform.
No, but it felt. Like, but it was kind of cool because everybody's like, "What's in the bag? What's in the bag?"
Yeah,
you know.
You just kind of holding on to it.
Okay. Let me start with this. Mick Foley is giving the history of a championship that was defended 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That 300,000 people held.
Personally, I always liked that gimmick. I liked it. But I liked it better when it was the hardcore championship, which Mick Foley did not say the word hardcore even once.
Nope.
In describing the history of this type of championship.
Okay.
So he shows the belt, and the belt is called the 24/7 Championship. That is it's the shittiest name I ever heard.
There's no prestige in that whatsoever.
It looks like a belt that Little Mac would have in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out without an awful 24/7 in the middle, which is not a bad design in and of itself because that's the WBC boxing championship design. The green strap with the, with the three.
That means absolutely nothing to me.
Really?
I know boxing. Don't get me wrong.
You don't know the three major belts?
No, I do. I 100%
It's the green
do.
Belt.
But
it's the one that actually looks like a championship belt.
I know, Tony.
Okay, so
but
you know.
To me, you don't have to. If that was their inspiration to make this belt, that's a poor job by them.
No, the belt, if it had a better design for the center plate, would be would have been better.
Yeah.
I like the strap. It's a perfect old school wrestling belt design. It's not the shield looking design with a big W on it, but it might as well have had that. It would have been a better design because it's got a 24 with a slash and a 7. So it makes no sense. Oh, I held the title. Yeah, the 24/7 title. Like, does that mean you're up all night?
Oh boy. But it can't be the 24/7 title if you only hold it for 30 seconds. It means the title is defended 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I get that.
But then they also mentioned it's only going to be defended on the third hour of the show, which makes absolutely no
sense.
They
said that?
Yeah, Mick Foley did say something about the third hour of the shows, but I think they maybe walked it back because it's going to be a belt that could be defended anywhere, anytime, which includes all the brands. He mentioned all the brands.
Yeah, he mentioned 205 Live, NXT, SmackDown.
Can you rattle off some of the bigger named hardcore champions?
Oh, 100%.
I mean 24/7 rule hardcore champions.
Crash Holly.
Okay.
Stevie Richards, Just Incredible, Tommy Dreamer, Raven, fucking
Patterson and Briscoe.
Maven. Patterson, Briscoe.
Did Bradshaw hold it under 24/7 rules?
He made it the Texas Hardcore Championship.
Okay, so there you go. So he may not.
Whether or not that was a 24/7 rule, okay. I don't know. But fucking even like Jacqueline, I think, had it in like
What's her name? Bobby Brown had it. What the hell's her name? Bambi? One of the hoes had it. But it was all goofy.
It was Victoria who had it.
No.
No, when she was a hoe.
Wait, that was her?
Pretty sure.
Oh, come on. You got to be wrong on that.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure Victoria as a hoe had it. Victoria was a hoe.
As a hoe. You know, she was. You know who else was a hoe? Mick Foley's wife was a hoe.
No.
Yes, she was. Read his books. I forget which book it was in, but yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So, anyway. Who came out to the ring on Raw last night? Wait, to quote the abominable CPA, a veritable who's that of the locker room.
listen, it gives these guys something to do, like the Titus O'Neil, the Carl Anderson, the Luke Gallows, that don't really have anything to do. Which I do love. I love Titus O'Neil.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you know who the current 24/7 champion is?
Nope.
As of this...
No.
It's
there were three champions last night.
It's R-Truth. I had no idea R-Truth won it. I must have missed it.
I
know Bobby Roode won it on the way back to the locker room, and then he lost the belt into the crowd. They had to go out and get it.
Listen, it'll probably make for some fun stuff.
It was a terrible way to introduce it. It's a terrible design. It's a terrible like look. Everything about that last night was terrible, but I love the concept of the 24/7 rule. They could have named it anything else.
I agree. And it's gonna make for some fun segments,
but
probably.
They could have named
it. But that's
it. They could have named it.
It's not gonna elevate anybody. It's a goofy prop to have fun with the guys that don't get on TV.
So I don't have a problem with it at all. Everything about last night I had a huge problem with. The concept in and of itself, I like it. I always have liked that rule. But
all right. Listen, I'm not gonna disagree with you.
That's me. I don't know. Anything else? else on Raw? Oh, yeah. So Shane's going to wrestle What's-His-Nuts at in Saudi Arabia, Roman Reigns. AJ's getting into a feud with Baron Corbin. The ladies had a six-man match. Was it the Riot Squad? Oh, it was Lacey Evans and the
ladies had a six-man match?
They had a six-ladies match.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I'm sorry. It's six-man. It doesn't matter.
I know. I'm just
we're all men.
I'm fucking with you.
Mankind. Yeah, so Alexa Bliss had to stand in the corner. Nice touch, by the way. She came to the ring holding her coffee mug because she knew she wasn't going to wrestle. That was pretty cool.
That's nice.
She's awesome. She's still the best.
She'll have a career for life.
Nikki Cross teaming up with Becky Lynch. That's a cool team. It's a shame Alexa keeps getting concussed.
Yeah.
Because they need somebody like Alexa Bliss. That Lacey Evans is... Mm.
She's a superstar. No, Lacey Evans is a freaking... is a star.
She's terrible.
I don't understand. I hope people have different opinions.
Bukkake Warriors come out and beat the shit out of
Who, the Bukkake Warriors?
Bukkake Warriors.
Oh, God, you're gross.
You didn't see that picture I sent you guys? Somebody
crossed No, them. I did. And I just chose not to look at it.
They spelled Bukkake with the same letters as Kabuki, and then someone corrected them, and they're like, asshole, it's a fucking meme. Take it easy. The Bukkake Warriors. Well.
Gross.
It is what it is.
Lacey Evans is a star. I don't like.
What
like,
did I say?
Like I said, I understand if you don't agree with something.
The jury's still out on that one.
But how we disagree so much on something that I think is so great is beyond me.
Anything else happen on Raw? Anything else that we need to mention?
If there is, then we don't have to talk about it.
I really didn't.
Because we have a lot to get to.
I mean, Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman and.
Brock Lesnar came back.
And they did the flippy-doo fucking wild card nonsense
shit. Was it going to cash in?
I mean, the opening was good with Brock, but I just don't give a shit.
He's a lot more animated, Brock. Do you see him doing, like, he had the briefcase like he was, like, a 1980s, like, breakdancer in Brooklyn?
Like, what's his name? Fuck. I can't think of Buck Zumhoff.
Oh, boy.
Hey, we got to bring up Buck Zumhoff.
Oh, boy.
Well,
but you know what I'm saying? He was doing like the.
I understand.
I forget. It's not the moonwalk, but it was a different kind of walk that they called it.
Yeah, whatever.
Back in the early 90s.
The only time Brock should be dancing is with the mariachi band. That was still his greatest dancing moment ever.
That was pretty funny.
So what did I want to get into? So Matt did a show last week with Gino Gatz and Geza Gadal.
Did he mention the action figure score that we picked up by any chance on that show? I haven't listened yet.
See, he's going to kill me because it was another thing I didn't remember earlier, too.
Because we had a fucking great haul.
All right, yes. All right, give it 2 minutes. Tell the story in case Matt didn't tell it.
So, Matt, I'm sorry if you told this already.
Doesn't matter. Just,
yeah. We had this guy out of Belleville, New Jersey.
Belleville!
Had this huge.
The home of Vicious Vin.
Huge action figure collection that my buddy from the Tattoo Garage, Chris, also located in Belleville. Turned me on to. He offered $35 for the entire thing, which was ridiculously low. But
yeah, but it wasn't even all the pictures at that point. It was just like one or two pictures, wasn't it?
Correct. So I wasn't going to upsell the guy. I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to tell him like, hey, you're selling this way too low.
I'm going to take advantage of a deal.
Yeah, but I would have probably given him more if he accepted the 35. I probably would have given him 50, right? But. His nephew tipped him off that you could get a lot more for this. So he's like, somebody offered me $70. I'm like, would 75 buy it? And at this point, Matt is in with me for halves. So he's like, yes, 75 would buy it. We get there. Guys.
No. What time was this all conspiring or transpiring?
Oh, around 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock.
No, what time did you guys actually go to?
Oh, around 10 o'clock at night.
This is what I mean. Like, and this is like covert operations. I'm laying in bed. I put my kid to sleep. I'm trying to relax. And I got these two idiots back and forth. Yo, I'm going to pick you up. Yo, I'm going to meet you here. Yo, we're getting in the car.
Bro.
Yo, we're pulling this shit off.
Yo, I'm like,
it's 10 o'clock. Leave me alone.
I'm going to Vince Russo bro you right now. Bro. This score was sick.
Yeah, it's a sick score.
And so I'm like, would 75 buy it? He's like, yes, me and Matt go. Matt gets, I give him 80, right? Just to try to be nice. I give
Mighty
him
80.
Nah, you know what I mean. Like, it's two figures in that collection are worth more than what I paid for it.
Yeah.
So it's,
but we're talking.
Again, I'm not going to I'm not going to try to spend more than he's offering.
But what are we talking? We're talking Hasbros. We're talking
LJNs, Remcos. Like,
oh, she had like AWA guys in there too?
Oh, at Road Warriors.
Any rings, anything?
No.
Okay.
But he said he has them somewhere. So he's going to get back to me.
Oh, you got to get the hookup on that.
And there's here's the Elizabeth gold skirt in there, but there's no Elizabeth, which makes me think that he still has Elizabeth somewhere.
She's like, she Macho Man or locked her
up. They were like Viceland. Macho Man wouldn't let her out. But take the skirt because I'm not done with her yet, brother.
Randy, help me, Randy.
But dude, Matt Hall got a Bam Bam Bigelow Hasbro, the Natural Disasters in great condition, Dusty Rhodes. I got my LJNs. I got the blue shirt referee, Billy Jack Haynes with hat, slick with hat, Jimmy Hart with the hearts on the megaphone. Dude, I'm geeking out right now.
I know you are. That's why I came in.
Freddie Blassie with the cane. Coco Beware with Frankie.
Wait, did you have a Kamala in there?
No.
Oh, I was going to say. I
had a one-man gang.
That's big.
Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase.
Ludwig Borga?
DiBiase. No blue cards. I mean, no green cards, which was upsetting. But
Ted DiBiase.
I'm too far away from the board. I'm enjoying this too much.
I got a... Oh my God. Like, just... Some LJNs that I didn't have or that I... Or upgraded now, British Bulldogs, Galoobs, WCW Galoobs, Sting, Luger, Sting. Pillman.
I thought you guys were going to bring some shitty ones to decorate the studio.
There are no shitty ones.
Wow, really?
Well, I mean, there are, but there's ones that I don't. If there are shitty ones, they're ones that I don't have, so I'm still going to keep them and maybe try to sell them to get other things.
Gotcha.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got so many double of the Hasbros where I can potentially flip them and afford to buy, like, maybe a new car. Or, like, No, it was a joke.
Well, hey, you never know.
But to flip and get maybe, like, a green card 123 kid or a green card smoking guns. So I could easily flip a lot of my doubles to get that. Because he's got some of the ones that I have go for like 30, 40 bucks.
Yeah,
easily.
Pretty, but that's so crazy that you got. But like Thieves in the Night. That's what was so funny about it.
You're right. But Matt was smart about it because he had already reneged on his deal once, which again, I don't blame him. The deal was insanely low.
Yeah, well, you got to lock that shit down then.
So then Matt was like, I'm like, Matt, we got these for 75. He's like, we'll pick them up tonight. I'm like, done. I didn't even think about it. I was like going to pick him up the next day at work. But Matt made a score. Matt got like a demolition crush, which he didn't have.
A demolition. Too big for britches.
Yeah. So.
All right. We're going to fly through this.
Yeah. Let's
first talk. Of all, Matt talked briefly about Ashley Massaro.
Yeah.
We found out she passed away while he was doing his show last week on Thursday.
Yeah.
39 years old.
Yeah.
Talk is it was suicide.
Yep.
It hasn't been, released anywhere, but that seems to be the rumblings going on.
No,
around.
I'm pretty sure it was released. TMZ reported today that she committed suicide by hanging.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that I did not know.
Yeah. So,
she's been through some shit. Did you read
the affidavit that she filed about potentially being, being raped? I say allegedly not because I don't believe her. I'm just saying because it was never brought to a court. So that's why you have to say allegedly.
She brought it. According to the affidavit, she brought it to McMahon's attention. And they pretty much
said, don't do this.
It's going to fuck everything up for us.
Which has been shared a lot by the likes of David Starr and Danny Cage and all these guys. Which, if this story is true, it's deplorable.
And you know what? It's out there. We don't want to get into all the gory details about it. But it's heinous. It's horrendous.
It's
something
absolutely
like this
ridiculous. And what makes it more disappointing and upsetting is the fact that it could potentially have been done by our own military, who we all love and support to no end. The fact that it could have been done under their watch is absolutely disgusting. And that's as far as I'll say about it. But as far as Ashley Massaro, the person, I've had very few and brief encounters with her, with WrestlePro, or it may have been PWS at the time. Absolutely the most pleasant person, the nicest person you could have ever wanted to be around. I played her out to the ring a couple times. I think once with the lifeguard, Mike Dell.
I wonder if she had any of these problems before this incident happened.
I don't know.
That's the weird thing about it. You know?
She's she's saying that she was involved in that lawsuit against.
Yeah.
She was also
on her way for a comeback.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And she's had, a presence online.
She's been great. Yep. Her last tweet was her responding to 300 or 400 fans fan mail.
Yeah.
So she was very in touch with her fans. She was very in touch with people around her. Again, one of the sweetest people you could ever possibly... Like, she wouldn't know me from Adam. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to name drop here. But I just remember her presence at the shows was so pleasant, so nice, so great. Truly loved being where she was at the time. And it just sucks. It absolutely sucks.
Yeah. 2005 Diva Search winner.
Yep.
She was on Survivor.
Super charismatic.
Oh, yeah.
Super energetic.
They used to call her Spunky, right? Didn't they say, like, oh, here comes...
Oh, I don't remember that. But she had that, like, punk rock look.
Yeah, she always used to, like, jump around a lot. Yeah, and,
when...
Like, the hands and...
It wasn't quite there. Punk rock has obviously been around forever, but she had that look and was one of the first ones, to my recollection.
Yeah, like, backward baseball cap, fishnets, yeah. All that look. Yeah, I remember. She was a cutie.
Like, Shannon Moore did it eventually. Like, all these guys, like, maybe even...
But Shannon Moore stealing gimmicks.
She was, he was the Prince of Bunk.
You're the Prince of Bunk.
I am the Bunkhouse Buck.
I'm Fake News Tony, and you're the Prince of Bunk.
That's a shirt.
Of course it is. Hopefully available soon at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Rest in peace, Ashley.
It's
sad.
It's
just
rough.
Any way you slice it, it's so sad. She has a young daughter. Absolutely brutal.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
All right, but we don't want to. As much as important as a story as that is, and we're not trying to diminish it, but we got to move on and get to fun time. Fun time, Tony.
Saudi Arabia, Friday, June 7th, 2 p.m.
And then we go to Saudi Arabia.
Well, I gotta get it out there. What would you recommend that we go?
No, Saudi Arabia is fine. I just wish I didn't use that fun time transition to go to a country that's absolutely...
So this is the card so far. We all know that Goldberg has taken on The Undertaker. We've got Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon. We've got Triple H versus Randy Orton. Braun Strowman's taking on Bobby Lashley, by the way.
Filler.
Finn Balor, as the Demon, is taking on Andrade, defending the IC belt.
All right.
And a 50-man Battle Royal. Not a Royal Rumble.
Yep.
A Battle Royal.
I love Royal Rumbles. I love Battle Royals, but... I wish it would have been another Royal Rumble.
They hyped it by saying the show will be as good or better than WrestleMania.
WrestleMania
These are
was...
all throwaway shows, dude. I don't care. Look,
no, I've said it a million times.
They're going to Saudi Arabia. They're getting the money. They're throwaway shows. It doesn't...
They might... It doesn't mean they won't be fun to watch.
Eh. Did you watch MLW this week?
I did.
Get rid of this fucking nonsense. Okay, so MLW TV this week, whatever they call their... What do they call their
Fusion.
Show? Fusion, that's it. Thank you.
From New York.
So we got Mance Warner and Sami Callihan against El Hijo de la Park and Ricky Martinez with Ocasio-Cortez at ringside.
Ocasio?
Yes.
All right.
Great match. I thought it was a lot of fun. Mance and Sami work well together.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic that...
Well, they're both, like, kind of,
yeah,
you know,
I get it.
Scumbag,
but based on Sami Callihan's like OVE character, it doesn't seem like he would be partnered with this guy, but it works.
That's the other weird thing. You see a lot of these guys crisscross applesauce on these shows, yeah. You know? It's like, yeah, I don't know, but it worked. I enjoyed the match, it was fun. Minoru Tanaka defeated Daga. Great match,
fun match.
Great seeing Tanaka,
yeah.
When they were first saying Tanaka, I was thinking Masato. I was like, holy shit, he's in MLW now, but no. Different
Tanaka.
Oh,
God, I wish Masato Tanaka was regularly wrestling here.
He's
been around, but...
Him and Mike Awesome, that's a very underrated ECW feud. You don't.
I think it gets the respect it deserves.
I mean, you get Tommy and Raven, you get Jerry Lynn and Rob Van Dam.
I think
that's kind of the one that doesn't really get the play that it should.
Well, I'll tell you why, because ECW was probably in a different place than it was. But I still think for where they were, Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome ranks up there.
Even the match at One Night Stand.
Brilliant.
Fucking amazing. When he took the powerbomb over the top.
You know what? I'm going to have to go watch that match again.
Definitely.
That,
you know what? Get your recorder out.
Do a Twisted Tea watch along.
That would be awesome.
I'm in.
We all got to get together for a watch along too.
Yeah. I know, we're long overdue. Thank you, Patreon supporters.
But people, the patrons have been enjoying my solo.
Dude, my brother does it, bro. That's insane.
I know. Wait, who?
I'm sorry, kayfabe.
Who?
Matty Garf.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your brother was Brett. Brett Cimolino.
J. George.
J. George.
I saw him recently during WrestleMania week.
Well, hey, everybody was around WrestleMania week. He's killing it, too.
Love J. George.
Brian Pillman Jr. defeated Rich Swann.
So now he will face Alexander Hammerstone.
Oh, I thought you were going to say fucking Mr. Touchdown. Hammerstone closed the show with a great interview, by
the way. Nice little promo-ski.
I don't like this whole Rich Swann thing with Myron Reed. Myron Reed cheating the whole time. I don't like
all
this
right.
shit.
All right, that's fair.
And Brian Pillman, I thought the Hart Foundation was a heel faction. Am I wrong? Are they?
They're a babyface because they just feuded with the Dynasty.
Really?
Which is MJF.
Yeah, well, he's a dick anyway. Who was he shitting? He was shitting on the Von Erichs. Yeah. So they're lining that one up.
Goddamn MJF. Woo! Is fucking... God, for... I know I'm going to be a homer again for this, I'm sorry, but is MJF not good?
No, he's awesome. I told him 2 years ago when I called one of his matches in Tier 1, you're going to be huge. He's like, thank you.
As fast as he developed under the tutelage of obviously
I don't want people thinking like, oh, like I knew MJ. Like, you can tell. The moment I saw him come out to the ring, I'm just like, this guy's got it.
And for someone that excels out of a school and travels as much as he does, God's gift, but you know what I mean. That's like he had it.
Don't blow too much smoke
from birth. No, I'm not. But he had it from birth because you can't teach a lot of that stuff.
Birth. He had it from birth.
Happy birthday.
Do you know anything about this situation?
I know everything about this situation.
I don't know if you do. Well, anyway, next week we're going to have the MLW World Heavyweight Championship defended. Tom Lawler is going to take on Avalanche Robert Dreisker.
Germany.
He's a German. Germany?
Yeah, he's a German. No, it's not in Germany, but he's a German guy.
And Ace Romero's teaming up with Barrington Hughes. I guess they melted chocolate or whatever his name is. They're taking on Fatu and Semil from the Contra unit.
All right.
That should be a good match.
I like it. We love, MLW.
I'm on board. I've been enjoying it.
We love you guys.
Like last week, I know there was some shit that I shit on, but this week was good
shit.
No,
it's, I mean, we're not going to placate to these companies. I mean, we love them.
We love them, but we gotta call it out when we see it.
We've talked about MLW for the last 3 weeks in a row.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I really don't understand what's going on. Like, I know bottom line what's going on. We touched on it with our guest earlier, with Barry Horowitz. What's going on with Adam Page and Pac? What's this nonsense that's been happening?
I don't know, Matt. Matt.
Whoa!
Tony. I don't know.
Because you think like I'm the all elite guy, like, but I am. But
you're an all elite expert.
I'm a fucking expert on everything. We'll find out in a few.
You're
minutes.
AWE. You're an all elite expert. Maybe the dingo waits your baby.
So Pac holds the
Dragon
Gate Championship, whatever it is. The open the fart gates or something like
that's
that.
That's right.
Whatever it's
the floodgates.
Called. That's it. The floodgates. Not
open the floodgates championship.
So apparently there's some nonsense going on. They wrestled and they had a draw.
I saw a match that was posted on YouTube.
Yeah, it was in England.
Okay.
Pac wrestled the main event for WrestleGate. Robbie was injured and Fleisch had transportation issues. So Pac issued an open challenge.
Posh Spice?
Posh, yes. Oh, well, it was in England, wasn't it? So Adam Page came out. They had a 15-minute draw. And then Pac was like, I'm not wrestling you anymore. I'm not going to AEW or some shit.
It's got
to
be. If it's not like legit like visa issues, it's got to be a work.
Well, Pac is not listed as part of All Elite's Double or Nothing this coming weekend. So who knows, Kevin?
Listen,
I don't know.
If that's true, and again, we don't know if it is or not, if he's not going to be there, that's not the first kind of impression, the first, like,
I know.
It's
I
the first it. Back step that you don't want to make as a company.
Well, here's the other problem. I mean, you have this problem. Like, everybody's looking forward to this match. A lot of people were. This was one of the big matches.
Yeah.
You had Ric Flair pull out of his roast and his appearance because he had surgery.
Yeah.
Rick's going to be okay from what I understand.
Yep.
It was a routine or not a routine.
Not
a schedule.
Routine, but medical complications prolonged the date of the procedures. So he will not be at StarCast. He will not be at the roast. Missing out on.
They lost Undertaker and that whole debacle.
Earlier, yes, before the Flair thing.
You know?
And
I mean,
Kurt Angle.
Look, There's plenty of other shit going on. But those are some
bitty bitties.
Those are some big blows. Not gonna lie.
Hi-yo.
Not gonna lie.
No, it's devastating. Well, there's really no way to cut it. As great as StarCast can and probably still will be.
Probably.
Losing. I didn't say probably. Did
I? You said probably.
God, I'm having a stroke. exactly. As big as it probably still will be, losing Ric Flair is huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely devastating to your... Imagine the refund you're probably going to have to give.
And as an aside... Oh, so somebody was bitching and moaning online that they wanted a refund because the Hangman Page match wasn't happening. And so Sean Waltman gets involved and says, will somebody please give this fucking idiot his refund and shut him up? Somebody replied, you're not the Pac they wanted to see anyway.
Oh, boy.
Fucking A, dude.
Yahtzee.
Real quick, before we get on to our last bits, the roast of Bruce Pritchard was put out on Something to Wrestle With's feed. The wrestler's not great. There's a comedian in the middle. I forget his name. He slaughtered everybody. He won last comic standing, maybe?
Was it Mike Lawrence?
Yes.
It?
Yes.
Because Mike Lawrence was scheduled for the Ric Flair roast.
Oh, no, not last comic standing. He won some roast thing?
Yeah, Mike, it's got to be a big bushy beard.
I don't know, dude. It was audio.
Oh, well, fair enough.
He fucking crushed every...
I know, Mike.
He hit everybody.
Big, passionate wrestling fan. Very smart guy. God. Probably one of the smartest guys I've ever met.
Some of the funniest lines I ever heard.
It's got to be Mike.
I don't
kind of like low monotone way of speaking. Like,
he was funny though. And in the middle of it, he's like, please don't tell my wife. This is the greatest moment of my life.
Could have been Dan Soder.
No, it wasn't Dan Soder. Dan Soder wasn't on the bill. Although Dan Soder,
it's gotta be
funny.
Mike Lawrence. It's gotta be Mike Lawrence then.
Shuley was there. Shuley was okay.
All right.
And who's the other guy?
That black guy.
That's a comedian.
Michael Che.
No, really, not the WrestleMania guy. What the? He's been in everything. I can't think of his name.
Chuck Nice, Kevin Hart.
No. A little less than that. Ah, fuck it. Oh well. Go listen to the roast of Bruce Pritchard.
Godwin, Henry Godwin.
Yes. No. Yeah. It was Phineas, his brother.
Goddard. What's his name?
Oh, Goddard. Maybe that was it. I don't know. Look it up. But anyway,
Godfried or something like that.
It wasn't Gilbert. Yeah. Hey, I was watching wrestling the other night.
It's got a...
you like my Gilbert Godfrey? No?
I don't know.
I hurt my voice doing that. Kevin, it's about that time. What? You got it?
I was talking to my buddy...
It's about that time.
The Prince of Queens.
Oh.
Sorry.
It's time for part two of the Shining Wizards pay-per-view big extravaganza thing! Covered all Elite Wrestling Double or Nothing!
Tony... I'm going in blind here.
Kev, this is rough, dude, because it's an upstart company. It's their first major show, pay-per-view-wise.
Second, technically. Well, first. You're right, first.
Oof. Okay, I'm just going to take them in order that Dickie Doo has them, because he sent his notes.
I don't want to read his notes, though.
I have them. I'll read them.
No, I have his notes, too. But I don't want to read them, because I don't want to be influenced.
Okay.
Very first match, Adam Page versus ?
He's very tough, that ?
I know.
Five-time
24/7 champion.
Do we even know if Adam Page is going to have a match?
Well,
did they announce
it? If he does, let's leave it at that.
Well, are we picking this?
Yes. Oh, yeah, we're picking it.
I'm going with Adam Page.
Yeah, we're all going with Adam Page. Matt says no idea how we're picking this match unless we wait to see who's taking his place. Either way, I'm going in blind and taking Adam Page. So everybody's on board with Adam Page. Here we go.
SoCal Uncensored versus the Stronghearts.
See, this show to me, you got to establish the guys that are going to be there all the time. And I'm not saying that the Stronghearts won't be there all the time, but you got to make your guys your guys. I'm going with SoCal Uncensored.
SoCal Uncensored. Matt says, super hard to figure out. I think they need to establish these guys from China or wherever they're from. Nice, Matt. I'll gamble and take the Stronghearts.
That's not a bad pick. I mean, there's only two, but that's not...
And who did you take? You took SoCal?
I took SoCal.
Well, Matt's going to have to listen to this anyway. You know what? As much as I like SEMA, I know who he is. I'm not sure who Al Lindemann and T-Hawk are. But we're going into their first show. You got to go with the guys that you know and love. SoCal Uncensored, that's my pick.
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose versus Kylie Rae in a three-way match.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I'll go with Matt first. Matt says, these are hard to pick, especially when you don't know when they're going. I'll take Britt Baker for the win. Kevin?
I think Britt Baker has the gimmick, has the more established name. I'm going Dr. Britt Baker.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going against you guys. I'm going Nyla Rose.
Nyla Rose?
I'm going Nyla Rose.
Smart pick.
You don't hype up the first transgendered wrestler, not give him.
I don't know.
Give Nyla a big win here. I'm thinking Nyla. So
I don't hate that pick.
F all y'all.
I don't hate that pick. I just think Britt Baker is the face of that women's division.
Okay, here we go. The next one he has. Are we picking the Battle Royal? I say no, but if we are, Matt. I'm taking Jimmy Havoc. Kevin, this is who I've got so far.
All right.
Sonny Kiss, Brandon Cutler, Ace Romero, Glacier, Brian Pillman Jr., Sonny Days, MJF, Joey Janela, Dustin Thomas, Billy Gunn, Jimmy Havoc, Michael Nakazawa, Jungle Boy, Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn, Luchasaurus, Sean Spears, and a bunch of TBAs.
Ty Dillinger's in this match.
Sean Spears?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. All right. I didn't know that.
Who are you going with?
I'm torn between Jungle Boy, Brian Pillman Jr., MJF, and Janela.
Well, that's not tearing. That's a choice.
That's a four square. I will go with Joey Janela.
Janela. Okay, Matt took Jimmy Havoc. I'm taking MJF. That's my pick. I think that guy's got star written all over him. This
I really
is a great
think it's going to be Brian Pillman Jr., though. But I'm staying with Joey Janela.
It's a casino battle royal, by the way, which means five people start, and then five more come in, and then five more come in, and then the last guy comes in. It's going to be a clusterfuck, but hopefully it's good. I don't know. Is this Matt texting me on the thing? Ron Funches. That was the comedian. Thank you, Matt. Okay. Kip Sabian versus Sammy Guevara. This is a pre-show, but we're also picking it. I'm going with Sammy Guevara. I think that kid's a stud. I like the shit out of his match at NWA 70. I haven't seen too much of him since then. Wasn't he also? He might have been in the national tournament, but I'm not sure. But I'm going with Sammy Guevara. Matt also says Sammy Guevara. He's one of the top young dudes in the game. Kip is great, but I'm taking Sammy. Kevin.
I'll play devil's advocate and go Kip.
Wow, Kevin's going Kipper Moniker, whatever his name is.
Just because it's no fun if we all pick the same person.
Best friends versus Angelico and Jack Evans. The best friends, of course, are Chuck Taylor and Trent.
This might steal the freaking show.
This could very potentially, yes, steal the show. Well, I'm going to give you Matt's pick first.
No.
Okay.
Let me pick first.
No, go ahead.
I haven't read Matt's yet.
Ooh, you haven't?
No, I hadn't seen this one yet.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I will go best friends.
Best friends. Okay, good call. That was my call. Matt says both teams are dynamite, and this falls in the same category as a six-man. I'll take Angelico and Jack Evans.
I don't hate the pick. I really don't.
I don't hate it either. These are tough. This is gonna be this show
because you don't know where they want to go with these guys. You'd figure they want to go with their boys, but that's just like an old school mentality. So I don't know.
Aja Kong, Yuka Sazazaki, and Imi Sakura versus Ryo Mizunami, Riho, and Hiroko Shida. Whew, that's a mouthful. Six women's tag team match. I love Aja Kong. She's been a fucking legend. The other guys with her, women with her. You know what? I'm going for Aja Kong's team. That's what I'm going with. Kev? It's rough, dude.
I'm a terrible wrestling fan. I don't know who any of these people are.
Some of them are from like Ice Ribbon and like the cutesy ones that like Dave Mega Powers would know. He would probably have been the expert to ask on this.
That's who we should have consulted with. I'll go Aja Kong's team.
So it's Aja Kong's team across the board. There you go. The Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers. The Young Bucks defending their AAA Tag Team Championship. Matt, you know what? I'll go with my pick first. I was torn on this one. I originally was going to go with the Young Bucks, but I'm thinking Lucha Brothers, they're stars. They're signed with them now. They are, as they say, Kevin, all in. So I'm going Lucha Brothers, regain the championships on American soil. Young Bucks go down. Who do you think?
You got to do the right thing sometimes, and the right thing might be putting over the Lucha Brothers. Just because you want to show that just because you run the company, you're not going to win every match. And to start that off, it might be fine to put them over. I am going With the Young Bucks, though.
And Matt's going with them, too. This is going to be an awesome match, a hard one to pick. Thanks for saying that every time, dickhead. I'm going with the Young Bucks.
All these matches are fucking hard to pick.
No, I know, but he's saying every time. We are running up on the time, but we're going to get these in real quick.
Oh, that's right, because the rant's coming up.
Two big matches. Cody versus Dustin.
Oh, God.
I know.
Cody.
I know.
Cody.
I'm taking Cody, too. It's Cody across the board. Another toss-up. I can't stress. Not knowing where they're going, that makes it hard to pick. Take Cody to kill the Attitude Era. Okay. This one I'm still not sure of. And this is the main event.
I'll tell you exactly where I stand
Kenny
on this.
Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho.
I go Chris Jericho. 100% Chris Jericho.
Really?
Yep. Not a doubt in my mind.
See, Matt said this is going to be the best match of the night, and as crazy as this one sounds, they're going to build around young guys and Chris Jericho.
You need Chris Jericho to come off strong.
Jericho wins, sets up the third match down the road. You know what? I was thinking about it. I was leaning toward Jericho. I'm going to go Kenny Omega.
Attaboy. What did Matt pick?
Matt picked Jericho.
All right.
I'm going Kenny Omega. I'm thinking you're going to make a big impression on the American crowd with Kenny Omega. That guy's going to be the star of the company. You got to get him off on the right foot.
Yeah, that's what's.
And I'm doing it just to be a dick to
you guys. No, you're right about that, though. It's, again, this since we don't know a whole lot about what this company is going to be, it's tough to pick.
It is what it is. Folks, thank you for joining us. We want to thank again our guest, Mr. Barry Horowitz.
Oh, so much fun.
Please enjoy your weekend. Enjoy everything that's happening with All Elite. Enjoy the pay-per-view. Enjoy StarCast if you tune into it. Let us know what you thought. And
enjoy Legends next. I mean, we'll be back before Legends.
Yeah, we'll be back before Legends. Do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
La 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 la.
Let me give you some music.
I don't really.
No? You don't want music?
The Brown Bear Pub, West Orange, our comedy series returns next Wednesday. Next Thursday, I'll be at WrestlePro. Next Friday, I might be shooting down to Atlantic City for Game Changer.
Ooh.
But other than that, stay tuned for some potential big news from the Shining Wizards. Not gonna let any cat out of the bag yet, but just stay tuned.
That's it. Don't forget the Pro Wrestling Tees sale this week, prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. Pick up a shirt of ours. Pick up anybody's shirts. Support guys on the network. They have shirts too. Support everybody we know. They all have shirts. Nice time.
I got a shirt. You got a shirt.
Everybody gets a shirt.
That's such a corny joke.
Stay tuned on The Rant. The Rant is up next. It's always weird saying that, but I guess that's it. Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin. Yeah. Oh, goddamn awful.
Hey, we didn't have a going home tonight either.
Nope.